Amen. Well, thank you for being here today. Thank you for a brand new year, Lord, that you've allowed us to be a part of. Timing with God is more important than time. So I know that us being here at this moment in time, being alive and well at this moment in time, God has a plan. We began laying a foundation Christmas Eve night of the coming year, of things that I felt like God would have us to be moving toward. The main theme that I want you to keep in mind for this year is results. That Jesus was a result-driven God, and He is a result-driven God. The theme this year is going to be results through serving. Serving is more than just going and doing something. It's got to be a meaning to it. It's got to be a purpose in it. And as I begin to study, our theme is going to come from, and we're not going to read that today, but our theme is going to come from the Last Supper that Jesus had. And I've been doing a lot of studying that and knowing that that's where God would have me to begin our direction for the coming year. Because I don't really feel like a lot of people understand what serving is all about. It's not about just doing stuff. It's not about just being doing here and doing this and accomplishing this and then moving on. It's about changing. It's about change. Jesus came to bring change. He was result driven. But as you study His life, I could ask you, why did Jesus come? And I get a lot of different answers. A lot of the answers we would get would be because of what we've been taught, what we've been seen. But actually, Jesus came, incarnated in flesh, who was God in flesh, came to reveal. Up in the time when Jesus was born, a prophetic Messiah was coming, one that was coming. Many people tried to serve God in many different ways. We all go all the way back to the book of Genesis, right on through. They tried to serve Him through 10 commandments. They tried to serve Him through ordinances. They tried to serve Him through the tabernacle. They tried to serve Him through all different ways. And God saw that people weren't getting it. They saw that they weren't getting it. And so we find a New Testament coming on the scene, a revelation of who Jesus, who God was through the life of Jesus. So I want to start with chapter 12 of the book of John. Chapter 12, and I want to lay some seeds in your life this morning. Holy Spirit has really been moving in my life about this word. I thank Him for that because He knows what we need. John chapter 12. Now, understand that Jesus is recognizing His time is limited. He knows His time is almost at hand. And I immediately begin to read, as I was telling you, when Jesus was at the Last Supper. That's where I was studying, and the Lord says, no, you don't need to start there, you need to go back. So I begin to go back, and I begin to study and read. And so here's where He brought me. He said, I want you to start here. He said in verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Now understand, there is a riot going on. There's an eruption going on. Jesus has totally uprooted religious order. He has totally shifted things around to the point that control is being lost by religious leadership. I'm telling you, there's so much in here. I just ask God to help me because there's no way you can get all that He's poured in my heart right now. But I want you to get some of it. There was a religious order that men had established and they were profiting themselves in it. There is a Pharisaical spirit that permeates through the foundations of hell that wants to control men into doing things. Or simply saying, serving God out of fear. serving God if I'm good, not good enough, or have I done enough, or am I praying long enough? And that's totally not what God wants to be represented as. So understand the history of what's going on here. Religious leaders they're just beside themselves. A lot of different reasons. I want you to put this in your spirit. There are controlling spirits sent from hell to move you from God. Don't you get that? We are living in the last days. We are living in the days where there's a form of godliness, but they deny the power. We are living in the last days where everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall not enter in. How many of you know that's in the Bible? There's a form of godliness. He said, this place is the land of nowhere. I want you to get that in your spirit. The form of godliness is the land of nowhere because there are no results. You go in, you come out the same way, and you are dead. Jesus came to bring life. Not that you might do stuff, but that you might do stuff based on life. Jesus came to give life. Amen? He's the way, the truth, and what? The life. When we worship Him with life. When we serve Him with life. And get this. Everywhere Jesus is, there's results. I present to you as a church leader today that there are churches today that are in the same shape now that they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It's the same thing. Nothing has changed. And if your life, and I hope you love me when I get done with this series, but I've got to preach you the truth. You understand that, right? You understand that I'm held accountable for every word that I give unto you. The Bible teaches us that those that love God are called according to His purpose, that there's a relationship involved there. But there are many people who are having form of God, but they deny His power. In other words, they don't have a relationship. If you are moving with God, simply, if you're moving with God, something's changing in your life. If there is no change, and I know this is strong, what I'm getting ready to say, there is no God. And Jesus came in a form of a little baby to prove change has come. Not for the fact of change, but for the fact of life. Sin is a deadly weapon. Sin destroys. Sin ruins homes. Sin ruins lives. Sin damns people to hell. I know that's old-timey preaching, but guess what? My Bible has not changed, and there still is a hell. And people go to hell. Why? Why do people go to hell? Because they don't know Him as Savior. And Jesus loved this world so much. He looked at it. He says, the religious leaders have taken this thing by storm. And people are going in and they're coming out the same old way. And the only ones that's profiting is the control-hungry leadership. Control-hungry leadership. Control-hungry leadership. Does that sound familiar to Lucifer? Who was a control freak? Who wanted to have control? His personality is control. I want to run. As long as you go to church, as long as you show up, as long as you do something, it's okay. Well, I want to tell you, people go to church every Sunday. They do the same old thing they've always done year after year after year. And I want to tell you, unless you know Him as Savior, it doesn't mean anything. Wow. Man. You still love me? I'm going to test you. Amen. I'll tell you, I couldn't hardly get through this, and I'll try. But Jesus, 6 days after the Passover, came to Bethany. Now, he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He loved them because he knows his time is soon, and where does he want to be? He wants to be with them. He was human, too. Get that now. He was 100% God, but 100% human, and don't even try to understand it. Amen. Where Lazarus was, and I'm reading out of King James Version. I don't know what your version says, but I want to give you how it came to me. It says, where Lazarus was. Now, you remember I told you John was very detailed. John was very detailed. So I read all of them, but I really like what John says. Is anybody hot in here? I heard amen. Amen. When you see sweat breaking out, then it'll be about time to close. Amen. This is good right here. Where Lazarus was, and I like what John says, which had been dead. Lazarus is there getting ready to have fellowship with Jesus, who a few days ago was dead. Not just dead, but dead. Graveyard dead. Graveyard dead, meaning his body had been to begin to decompose. Now, I can preach a little longer now because you don't have appetite no more for lunch. Amen. But he stinketh. I like King James Version. He stinketh. You stinketh. But now he's setting a few days later. Fellowshipping, laughing, having a good time. He's got all of his fingers, all of his toes, everything's put back together because that's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God who puts things back together. Amen. Where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. I love John. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Lord reminded me, said, now your theme for this year is serving. So I'm going to teach you how to serve. Where Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now this is not a reflection on Martha, but Jesus is trying to show us there are two forms. There's the land of nowhere, and there's the land of promise. Which land are you in? Mark Twain wrote this quote. There are two great days in the life of a human being. The day you're born and the day you understand why. Two great days in the life of an individual. The day you're born and the day you realize why. God birthed you. You have a birth date. You were created by an almighty God to make a difference. Not just to do stuff, but to bring life. Your life is to be a revelation. We've heard it preached all our life. We're to be like Jesus. We're to shine like Jesus. You know what that really means? Is that my life is to be a reflection of him. Why? Because he illuminates me. He lives in me. He's a breath of fresh water flowing out of my belly. And anybody I get around is supposed to be refreshed by his anointing. Amen? Look at the one beside of you and say, I am anointed. Amen. I am anointed. Listen. Jesus' ministry was that of revelation. What does revelation mean? It means to reveal. Life is to reveal. Another writer put it this way. Life is this. What is life? Solomon said it was like a vapor that appeared for a short time and then vanished away. But in the middle of that vanishing, God created us to bring change. One writer put it like this, life is the destiny of time we have, the destiny of time we have to make a difference. If I'm 57 years old now, in 57 years, I'm to be making a difference. If you're 25, 55, 105, ever how old you think you are, wherever you are to be making a difference. The day I was born and the day I realized why I was born. Jesus came to expose the land of nowhere. Let me read this. What land are you in? You'll understand it. Let me read it. So Lazarus, look at verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, which is very, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary begins to worship. Get this. As we get ready to serve, serving will only bring results out of worship. Have you ever seen anybody do something and you knew they really didn't want to do it, but they did it? Did it do anything? You see, the devil has got into this thing called worship and got everybody scared that we're going to be in the flesh and we're going to do this and that, so we just simply don't do anything. Understand the lies of the enemy. Mary is Martha. She's busy. No reflection on her, but she's busy. At this time, Lazarus is not busy. He's sitting down at the table and he's talking to Jesus. He's talking to him because his life has been changed, you think? And Mary, nobody tells her what to do. Nobody says, Mary, now if you do this, then you do. Mary gets so involved in the presence of who he is and recognizing. See, yes, listen. Service must be directed by the Holy Spirit or it just becomes doing. Doing is what they do in the land of nowhere. But in the land of results, it comes about through worship. And worship is not holding your hands up and singing songs and all of that. That is not worship. That's a byproduct of worship. But real worship is when you recognize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lives in your life and you love him so much, you just got to show him. Amen. You know how you wives are when your husband comes home after a long day? You just tear through the living room with a rose in your mouth and sling the door open and, honey, I could not hardly wait till you got here. You know what I'm talking about. That's what I lost some of you right here. Amen. But you know what I'm talking about. She loved him and she got caught up in that moment. Look, let me read on. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas. Now, why did God put this in there? Such a moment. Such an awesome moment. She takes the most expensive thing she has. Oh, there's a point. Worship and serving. Serving begins by worship. And worship is only worship when you're willing to give something away. You see, I have a problem, and I'm not going to get up here and just tell you how I feel, because you don't have time. It doesn't matter how I feel. But as a church leader, I got to tell you something. There's fads going around. People want to worship half a day, and they want to worship 3 or 4 hours, and all. And I'm not against any of that. But show me something when you get done. Amen. When it's all over, show me something. Amen. It ain't about me. It ain't about me coming in here, give it to me, God, bless me, God, give me, God, and then I get all my worship on. I got to get my worship on. Help me, Jesus, not to slap their head, slam off their shoulder, about their worship on. Because, you know, it ain't about me. It ain't about me. I'm coming in to get, and that is what is in the land of nowhere. The land of nowhere is all about me. Put a preacher's name all on the walls back here. We just put, everything's about me. Everything's about me. They always tell you give to God, but they give you their address. Amen. Amen. You know, it's kind of funny. You have to laugh so you won't cry. But then we want to know why we're not changing nothing. We want to know why. Let me tell you what. The Holy Ghost of God, the power of the Holy Spirit is in this church. And where God is, there's change. Lazarus is sitting there, and he's a changed man because now Judas is a voice of the land of nowhere. Let me say this. Judas Iscariot, which should betray him, was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bear and put that. Do you think John called it like it was? Then said Jesus. Now here's what's going on. She's worshiping. And the ointment just fills the room. When you begin to serve God, it is always based out of heart. We will not be effective as a church until we get a heart for those we're serving. Does that make sense? When you lose your heart, you lose your zeal. When you lose your zeal, you lose results. Jesus said, let her alone. Now look what Jesus is fixing to say to her now. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Now that's deep right there. That's prophetic. That's prophetic. Jesus saying she knows that in a little while I'm getting ready to go and she's anointing me for my burial. Boy, that's powerful. For the poor always have you with you, but me you have not always. Much people, now you got to get this part. I want to read or two verses I want to leave with you. Verse 11. Let me get on down there. Verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. I'm going to give you this and I want you to think on it. They're worshiping. Lazarus has done nothing to nobody. Lazarus was dead. Lazarus had a need. You think he had a need? Lazarus had a need. He was sick unto death. The man died. He had a need. He needed results. The church had not given him results. They had thrown him away. Just die. Just die, Lazarus. But Jesus came and gave him life. Look at what happened. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. Look there, here's why. Verse 11, here's why. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Because this man Lazarus is alive. Now here's the point Jesus told me to ask you. Where do you want this church to go? Where do you want it to go? Now you can't answer that today. You're going to have to pray about that and fast about that and seek God about that. Because I'm going to tell you, it'll go right where you want it to go. Because there's a lot of Lazarus out there who need help. Amen? But there's a lot of Pharisees out there who do not want change. They don't want change. They'd rather see you die than to get change. And I'm going to tell you something. Spiritual death is a terrible thing. Let me tell you this. As the old preachers used to say, hell is a real place. And men really do go there. And I don't want you to go there. The rich man, being in torment, lifted up his voice and said, Lazarus, would you just tip your finger in water, just drop it on my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. And I want to tell you, this is the spirit that we're dealing with today. Everything's okay. Everything's good. Now, let me read one more verse and we're going to go. I promise. I could read the rest of this, but I promised. Verse 19. This is good right here. This sums it up. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive you how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. That was so good to me. You know what they were saying? Guys, we're not giving nobody nothing. And everybody's going after him. Wasn't that awesome? As Jerry Clower said, they were educated above their intelligence. Because they didn't really realize at that time they were saying they were the problem. Guys, we're not doing nothing. We represent the land of nothing. We got all the rituals and all the laws, and man, we ridiculed Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. And you don't heal on the Sabbath. You want to know why you didn't heal on the Sabbath? You want to know why? Because it messed up their plans. You got to understand that power-hungry people do not care about you. They care about them. And only when you can profit them. You got to understand that the churches in that day were money makers for the religious leaders. And they didn't want no healing on the Sabbath. They didn't want no commotion on the Sabbath because that would mess up their plans. That's sort of like when we come to church and somebody gets saved. Man, I sure didn't expect that. I pray we'll change that. Amen. I'm going to close right here. Because I'm sweating to death up here. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I got so much more to tell you. Did you get anything out of this morning? Yeah. Mary worshiped and gave herself. Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you are. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're the great I am. You're the great I am. God, you have called every one of these people for such a time as this to make a difference in the world. And I pray, God, that their hearts will be challenged today and they would ask themselves, what land do I live in? Do I live in the land of nowhere? Am I the same place I was last year this time? Or the year before that, or the year before that? Am I growing in God? Am I moving? What difference am I making? Or is it all about me? The main theme of the land of nowhere is it's all about me. God, I pray their hearts have been challenged this morning and they would recognize that Jesus is leading up to a time of when he'll have a last supper with these guys and he leaves them with this final note to serve one another. Lord, I just got to believe in a congregation this size that there's people that they have friends and loved ones that do not go to church or maybe go to church and they're just bewildered or maybe they're just going through hard times or maybe they were in a church and now they're no longer in a church. Lord, they'll be challenged this week to continue to live in the land of nowhere or to begin to worship you. Worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you some homework this week. I want you to invite three people to come to church next Sunday. Three people. Well, what if they don't come? You've done your part. Invite three people. Pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct you. We're going to learn through this series how God wants to build this church. I want to be a worshiper. I don't want to do things just because, well, you need to do that because you're expected. I want to do it out of worship. And out of love and out of relationship. And I want you to ask yourself a question. Do I know him as a personal Savior? Do I know him today as a personal Savior. You say, well, yeah, I got saved years ago, and that's wonderful. That's great. But He loves you today. He didn't just love you one time and faded away. He wants to be Lord of your life every day. Two great days in your life. The day you were born and the day you realized why. God bless you. Amen. Come back.